KNW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Federal incentives are helping pay for new renewable energy projects in Wisconsin. Here's Mike Moan with more.
Dane County is no stranger to embracing clean energy, but federal aid from policies like the Inflation Reduction Act and bipartisan infrastructure law spurring more activity. County Executive Joe Parisi says there have been past government credits for things like solar installations, but he adds the latest approach is more expansive.
Everybody, a business, a nonprofit, a church, a temple, even a government and a local government gets 30% back on renewable energy projects.
For example, a local construction company put solar arrays on several of its facilities. He says the new credits speed up the pace of reimbursements, creating more energy savings in the near future. Federal officials say demand has been strong for programs offering the aid, but Parisi says one challenge is creating broader awareness so that under-resourced areas can apply. Beyond clean energy, Parisi says the federal government's push for more made-in-America manufacturing creates opportunities for local plants and regional economies.
There's money available to help retooling to manufacture, and then there's a stronger market for those components now because they are made in America.
National polling shows Americans are greatly concerned about things like inflation, but Parisi says these long-term investments stand to help reduce operating expenses for government agencies and businesses, hopefully keeping local taxes in check while providing savings for consumers. This is Mike Moan for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Meteorologist Rodney Price, sunny skies, breezy west to northwest winds and highs in the upper 50s. Overnight, mostly clear skies as lows bottom out in the mid and upper 30s. On Monday, increasing clouds and breezy southwest winds, highs in the lower to middle 60s. It's 53 at our studios.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We built this city on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Lean Local. For those of you who may be new listeners, this is a show where we lean local. There's a lot going on in the world right now, and we all have concerns about Gaza and Ukraine and if the speaker is going to survive, and we're concerned about the state, with what is going on with the mental health that the governor is working really hard on. But that's been pretty well covered. I mean, the national media, the TV stations that we have here, and a couple of the papers. But, for someone who's spent 20 years in politics, I sometimes don't think we spend enough time on the local issues. And the local issues are really the ones that affect you most. I mean, obviously, like I said, we have concerns on the state and federal level, but the local issues, garbage pickup, quality of life, the parks, public safety, we lean into those issues through our guests. And we have some great guests today, and we'll get to that in just a minute. The other thing I want you to be aware of is when I talk about leaning local is, we're in a pretty divisive political climate right now here throughout the country. And so we don't lean left. We don't lean right. We just Lean local. That's what we do. So, you know, we've had Rich Heidel, and of course we had the president of Alloway and mayor of DePere, some great guests. But today I was going to try something a little bit different. And I reached out to Mary Jane Herber. And I think you know that name. You should. She's the manager of the local history and genealogy collection for Brown County. Can I tell them how long you've been with the library?
50 years downtown, and I started in DePere in May of 71.
So, you know a little bit about the city. You've studied it, the other community, I should say. And I wanted to get a little perspective on the politics of Green Bay. Would you agree? And Mary Jane Herber, so welcome. Welcome to Lean Local.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
So would you agree that, I mean, you know the history better than anyone, really. Have we always been kind of, don't you think it's a little bit more partisan, like Democrats, Republicans, or do you think it's always been nonpartisan? Or how do you see the climate now versus some time ago?
Well, I think that sometimes you could tell which direction the members of the council and the mayor's office, regardless of which community, whether when you talk about mayors, we only have two, DePere and Green Bay. But I think that it just depends on the individuals. And I think sometimes it does depend on what's going on at the national or the state level. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we've been pretty good at being nonpartisan.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that makes it that way is that I've talked to people before and I've said to them, you know, guys that came out of the Second World War, they were nonpartisan because they knew they had to be nonpartisan when they were in the war, because otherwise they wouldn't come back alive, because they had to work together. And I think that's what local politics and elected officials, I hope, really focus on. And I think sometimes it's certainly been better than other times. You know, I think sometimes it depends on the personality of the individual, regardless of whether or not they're in politics.
Yeah. That's interesting what you say about the people who came back from World War II. And that's when a lot of stuff happened, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, lots. I mean, lots of
housing,
stuff.
Business, just, yeah.
Just, well, birth. Because, the birth rate, I mean, right. You know, it wasn't uncommon for there to be 6, 8, 10 people in a house
right.
with 3 bedrooms.
Right.
You know.
And what's interesting about that, they had to work together when they were at war. They came back, and there's no question to any of them that the city needed to get going.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting. So I don't know that the city council has an appetite to go to war, but we'll have to figure something out.
Anyway. Oh, let's hope not.
Either
with each other or someplace else.
Yeah, right. Is there a time or a mayor that you remember kind of standing out versus, you know, there's been 43 of us, right? Mayor Thompson, 1854. You know, was the first mayor of Green Bay. And we've had, 43 since then. Anybody that was...
Well, you know, Dominic Olenicek was mayor from 45 to 55. And I think there were a lot of interesting things that happened then, partly because the war was over.
Right.
And so he was moving into that, we're going to come back and have great, you know, housing and business and industry and all those things that we're going to develop. So he was lucky in the sense that he was in that 45 to 55 time frame, and that there were things that needed to get done, and the community looked at it and they worked together for those things. And there were a lot of them. There was the water. There was water. There was a new city hall. There was a new post office. There was.
Wow. Those are big ticket items.
Stadium, you know, a city stadium. There was, on the county level, they quickly, the next year, went into the arena. You know, so there were a lot of things that were happening. The airport, my favorite story about the airport is is when they moved it, you know, a lot of people don't know that the airport was where basically the Tundra Lodge is now on Highland and Ashland.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And that was the, I thought that was a private airport. That was the municipal airport?
It was the municipal airport, wow. But Blesch owned the land initially.
Okay.
Okay. And when they moved out to what Austin Straub, where Austin Straub Field is mm-hmm. now, and then we'll go back, but this is so fun. So they figured, now think about this. There's one kind of hangar with a Quonset top, kind of curved top. And it was in August, I think around the 26th in 1949, I think. Anyway, expected 30,000 people to show up. Oh. 40,000 people showed up for the dedication of the stadium or of the airport. 40,000 people showed up.
Wow.
Because they were going to bring in planes from the war, et cetera, et cetera. 40,000 people. I still want to know where all the facilities they were going to be able to need
right.
for kids and people and just anything. And the reporter from the Press Gazette had to go to De Pere to get across the bridge to come back downtown to be able to get to the paper. Because he couldn't get across the bridges in Green Bay
wow.
because there was so much traffic. But
our
but
own EAA.
But think about it. It's the airport, too. I mean, there's one right after another in that 10-year period
after
the war.
Those are big decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And Dominic Olenichek, right?
Yes.
And he was instrumental in the stadium, right? Because they were...
Yeah.
Contemplating that,
yes.
that must have been pretty political.
One of the things they did, though, with the referendum for the stadium, you know, they did something very smart in a way. Today, you probably couldn't get away with it, but they didn't pick out a location.
Oh.
And so people voted for a new stadium, but they didn't say whether it was going to be on the east side or the west side.
Yeah.
They just said, we need to have a new stadium, and they voted in the referendum for the stadium, not for where it was going to be located.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they had the support for a new stadium, and then they carved out that area,
yes.
kind of, you know, Green Bay.
There were a couple of places. Perkins Park was one.
Really?
Yes, and then there was another place out on the east side, and I can't remember exactly where it was. But, yeah.
All right, well. It's still in the city.
Yep.
Hey, tell me about the...
Well, they annexed the land from Ashwaubenon.
That little cutout, I know.
And the farm.
Yeah. Tell me about the water. That was and today it's even more important that we went to the lake.
Yeah, oh, the water situation, because of the think about the population growth. And then you're working with well water.
Right.
And in the summer, they would, you know, they would just put kibosh on using water in a lot of no lawn sprinkling, all those kinds of things. And it was crucial in terms of the development of the city because going to the lake, to Lake Michigan for the water, not the bay, but to the lake, was just crucial in terms of it. And even though I've never really read a lot that was that way, I think part of the reason why Preble merged with the city in November of 64 by vote was because of water, because yeah. there were all those businesses in Preble that needed water that were food-based, you know, in terms
right.
of cheese and butter and packing plants and all of those things that had to have water and to rely on well water. Mm-hmm.
Right. What a bold move and what vision to go to Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. We kind of went through that a little bit, you know, when we yeah. had, you know, when I was in office, but that
sure.
was just another pipe. They already had the vision for that. Was that controversial?
Oh, yes. Yes. It was very controversial because it cost money,
yeah.
you know, and people thought, well, the well water will always be there. And it isn't going to be if you've got a lot of growth.
Right.
If you didn't grow, if the community didn't grow, and everybody decided to move someplace else after the war. But because of the industrial base and the business and retail and the fact that here's another thing, that the St. Lawrence Seaway was being completed, all of those things contributed to the fact that there was going to be growth in Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know, so therefore going to the lake for water was just something they needed to do.
Who led that?
Oh, Jake Rose.
I want to talk about some of the leaders that weren't in politics.
Yeah.
That is so critical. I don't think people, well, I think people do understand that. But I mean, that's a name that everyone should know. And if they don't, we're going to talk about him.
And certainly he wasn't alone. Bob Kissel was involved with the water aspect too. And he was at one of the paper mills. He was at, I'm going to be wrong. So I better not say. I can't remember if it was Northern or Charmin, but okay, one of those two.
Okay.
Anyway, so, you know, there were about a good core of 8 or 10 guys that you'd see their names in the paper, but certainly there were a lot behind them.
Right. And they were fighting for that. And was Otto Rachels, was that the guy then? He was the mayor at that time, right?
He was the mayor at the end. It had already been decided to go to the lake.
Okay.
But he was the mayor that followed Dominique. Yeah. Olenichek, okay. And he was elected. He took office in April of 55.
Okay. That was bold. And I think there's some big decisions that are made in any municipality. And I just think that is a good one. And I think that strong leadership. Something that, I want to come back, but we've had 43 mayors and they've all been kind of white males.
As far as I know, that's true.
It is true.
Yes. I'm looking at all the pictures that I've got in the file at the library. Yep. They're all white males.
And do you have a comment? Do you want to talk about that? Or is that just the way? No? All right. Hey, we're going to think about that during the break. We're going to come back. I want to talk about the mayors. And then I want to really get into some of the more situations that good decisions that were made to give this city the city it is. We're going to be right back here with Mary Jane Herber and Lean Local with your host, Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You know what that's from?
No.
Chris, all you do is read. Yeah. Some of us watch TV. Suits.
Oh, see, I don't have cable.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just some...
But see, that's the fiscal conservative.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk a little bit about it. So when we left at going to break, we talked about... Not that the mayors are all the same, but they look the same, right? I think they're all kind of from Green Bay, right? I don't think there's any been real transplant that has come in here.
Well... Early, back in the 1850s and 60s, you know, Alonzo Kimball was mayor from about 1860, 61, and he was from out east.
Because
it was the beginnings of the community.
Right. It seems like in the last 100 years, a lot of the mayors have come locally. But
yeah.
I wanted to, so they look the same. Why is that? I mean, why haven't we had, I guess, more diversity in the leadership?
Well, I think really it's only the last 20 years in terms of diversity in general in the community. You know, if you look at the statistics for which I've done over the years in terms of population growth and where populations were, I mean, really small in terms of other than white European backgrounds.
Really, the diversity back then was more in French, German.
Yep. Irish, Dutch, you know.
Well, the Polish.
Polish, yeah. You know. Belgian.
And that's why we have all the churches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So close to each other.
Yep. Because they spoke the language of the immigrant at the church, in addition to Latin, certainly.
Wow.
Or, you know, the Norwegian Lutheran Church or the German Lutheran Church. So, you know, that's the way it was, kind of that way.
When you
know when that changed in terms of those ethnic church, those churches that are based that way? After the war, because of the suburban aspect, even though if you're out by St. Bernard's or you're out by Annunciation or some of the other churches,
right,
it's because people started marrying out of Polish girl married a Polish guy. You know, Polish girl didn't marry a Belgian guy. And that happened after the war.
Oh.
So that's how that changed.
Wow. Interesting. Hey, let's talk a little bit about, and you can use names, but, you know, I can name, you know, a whole bunch of mayors and council people and congressmen, but community leaders. What name comes to mind if I say Mary Jane Herber? You've studied the city for, you worked for the city for 50 years. You've seen a lot of development, good decisions, and maybe some that are, could have been better. Is there a name of a person that jumps up?
It's always Jake Rose.
It is, huh?
It's, for me, it's always Jake Rose. And
tell us a little bit about Jake Rose.
Well, he always had his office on the first floor of the bank.
He was the president of Kellogg Bank?
He was president of the Kellogg Bank and helped organize it so that with two other banks, from one from Manitowoc, one from down in Nina, to become the Associated Bank Corp. And that because they knew business-wise they needed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ask me, because that's about as far as I can go.
Not a finance major. Okay.
No. I'd screw it up for sure. And Paul Ziemer and Fred Bear and Phil Hendrickson.
Well, there's still some strong names.
Yep. And you still see them around and you
right.
still know that that influence is there, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Jake Rose and I knew Phil Hendrickson too. Those guys... what's the word I'm looking for? They were compassionate business people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Sometimes even handshakes when it was a risky deal.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
I know one businessman in Green Bay that went to talk to Jake about getting some more money for his business because he'd started it. And he talked to all the other banks. They had all turned him down. And that businessman sat and talked to Jake for a couple hours at the old bank over on Cherry in Washington. And Jake said no. And he got up to leave, and Jake said to him, "Don't you want to know why I'm saying no?" And he thought, "Well, I better, because mm-hmm. I can prepare better next." He said, "You're not asking me for enough money." Oh. He was asking him, I think, for $5,000, and Jake said, "You need $10,000.
Wow.
And the man ended up serving on the bank board.
Yeah, see, that stuff goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
He was really looking out
mm-hmm.
for him.
Yep.
And really to double your risk, but, you know, I mean, look what that did.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I want to ask you a question, but how do you feel about the future of Green Bay? We and before I say that, you know, you can live anywhere right now, right? I mean, and people
yes,
do move,
you
right?
Can.
I mean, right?
Yes.
Kids don't live here, and you can work. Really, a lot of people are working from home, so they can work anywhere. Someone who's been here, been working here for 50 years and knows the city, the history, and they always say, you know, you got to know your history if you want to move forward and
mm-hmm.
You should run for mayor. But tell me what do you think about the future of Green Bay?
I think that, I think we have to realize that we're a whole community and not just in terms of the city, but that we have to realize that we're a metropolitan area. And that what one aspect does affect the other parts.
Right.
You know, and that I think that we have to look at education really in a lot of ways to be able to make sure that our people are well educated, and that we've got to definitely look at the reading in terms of grade school. Because if you can't read, you know, you just, you're
a long road.
Yeah, it is a long road. It's a long road. And that, and certainly today, I don't care what they say about computers, that you've still got to be able to read what's on that screen.
Yeah.
You know, we may have gone away from written books to some degree with kids in school, but you still have to be able to read. And reading is so important. And I remember when my brother went off to reading every summer school for when we were kids. He's 72 now. They didn't know what reading problems were.
Yeah.
He's dyslexic. Dyslexia. Luckily, he was good at numbers and he's got a master's degree in engineering management.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because he reads. Because he read. Yeah.
Because he couldn't read. He didn't find out he was dyslexic until he was in graduate school.
That's interesting that.
So reading is important.
Right. And you're saying that. And it was back then. It was 74 mm-hmm. years ago is important. You're saying that today. That's kind of nice. A little bit of comforting that, look, they did it. We can do it too. You know, it's not like we have to go to the moon or something. Right. I mean, we can just, you know.
No. Yeah. And that's such a key thing, because everybody needs to have employees that have that they can give material to and say, here's what you need to do. Help us get through this. You've got to be able to read it.
Right.
And partly because if you can't read well, then mistakes are made in business, and those cost money and jobs and all of those things. So you have to be able to read well in order for things to progress.
That's great advice. And that's where leadership comes from, right? They get confidence, they get businesses, and whether they're elected or not. And you made a good point about that. When it comes to mind of people who made Green Bay great, they weren't all elected. They were just community people. Mary Jane Herbert, just thank you for being here. You are a very special person. I want to have you back, but just thanks for what you do for the history and the genealogy here at Brown County Library. And thank you for listening. Our next guest is going to be Brian Johnson. So we'll be right back with Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
I walk to the sound of
the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Senate will vote on the $95 billion foreign aid package that passed the House Saturday and illustrated divisions among Republicans. Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Michael McCaul, who voted in favor, told ABC's This Week why 112 of his fellow Republicans voted against.
They bought into this notion that it's an either-or proposition. You can't secure the border. You can't support Ukraine without the border. We can do both. We're a great nation.
It includes more than $60 billion in aid for Ukraine. He also said House Speaker Mike Johnson did the right thing in getting the bill passed, even as some hard-right Republicans call for his ouster. Opening statements begin tomorrow in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial in New York. He has pleaded not guilty, and prosecutors have not revealed their first witness. And the dystopian movie Civil War led the box office for the second straight week, taking in just over $11 million. This is ABC News.
Marquette hires a new basketball coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It happened this week at Marquette, a new head coach for women's basketball.
We look for people who want to go out and set the world on fire. We look for people like Kara Consuegra. Welcome aboard.
After 13 seasons as the head coach at Charlotte, Kara Consuegra takes over the women's program at Marquette.
You know, coaching is my dream. It's something I've always wanted to do. But ultimately, for me,
It is a vehicle to help young people grow, learn, and prepare them for life.
Consuegro was a player at Iowa, then hired as an assistant at Marquette in 2004. I asked her, what's it like being back in Milwaukee?
It feels like a homecoming. Marquette is really, really special to us. The community is special to us. You know, we have a lot of friends, family, and this is a place we always wanted to be. So to have the opportunity to come back and represent this community and this university, it means a lot to me and my family.
That's Marquette's Kara Consuegra with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies, breezy west to northwest winds and highs in the upper 50s. Overnight, mostly clear skies as lows bottom out in the mid and upper 30s. On Monday, increasing clouds and breezy southwest winds, highs in the lower to middle 60s. It's 53 at our studios.
Beautify your entertainment space with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Hi, this is Gina Della from Pella. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella windows. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home has never been easier. Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months or no down payment, no interest, and no payments for up to 18 months if you book before April 30th. Take ownership of your living space and make it a place worth living with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back to the second portion of Lean Local. I just want to thank Mary Jane Herber for coming in, and it's just interesting to hear the history of politics in Green Bay and some of the big decisions that were made. Most of them were good, but she really talked a lot more about, while we love our politicians, that it was the community, the business leaders after World War II that came back and really got some major things going for the city. I mean, everybody knows the stadium, but, you know, going to Lake Michigan for our water and some different zoning with Preble, and those are all good things that happened. And but you have to have the right local leader. So I just want to thank Mary Jane. And as I said, if you just tuned in for this portion, Lean Local is a new program here in Green Bay, and I want to thank WGBW for allowing me to have this show. But, you know, I sometimes am concerned that the media covers a lot of federal things, and there's a lot to be concerned about at the federal level, and there's a lot of interest there on Gaza, and but even if the speaker's going to survive his job, And here at the state, I think there's a lot of interesting things going on. You know, well, the redistricting is kind of done, but then, you know, the governor's really leaning into this whole mental health. But what we do on this show here is we lean local. We talk about local things, local leaders, local community leaders, local issues, local development. And that really affects you. That affects the quality of life. And that's why we want to lean local. The other thing I just want to say before we get going here is that when I say lean local, I mean that as a nonpartisan. We don't lean left. We don't lean right. There's enough to do as a nonpartisan resident and leader here in Green Bay without, you know, picking one side or the other. So you heard in the intro, prominent local leaders. So we got one. Got him in-house. I think he is, so. I know Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson, I think a lot of you know him because he's been, out of the 12 city council people, probably the most visible for two reasons. One is he's been on the council for, what, eight?
6 years.
6 years. And he also is the director of On Broadway, which is an area of the city of Green Bay. When you look at our 50 square miles, you know, we have focus areas that happen in any city, right? I mean, you just can't develop all 50 square miles at the same time, at the same pace. So you got to pick your priorities. And I think safe to say that On Broadway is one of them. We'll get to that later in the show. I just want to congratulations. You were just reelected. You had a nice victory. And what do you think?
Well, I think it's an exciting time to be part of Green Bay politics. Thanks for having me. It's, you know, it's so awesome when you get to build on sort of the legacy and the foundations before you. And obviously, Mayor Schmidt, you were a big part of that and grateful for all the great work you did, especially here in the downtown area, but really throughout the entire city. And just to, I'm sure hearing that perspective from Mary Jane Herbert, boy, it's hard to find another treasure in our community who knows more about the history of the city than Mary Jane.
So right.
I'm sure that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I invited you to the show, but had I not, I didn't want to like kick you off and say, Brian, come tomorrow, because I could have kept her on for another half hour. But we'll have her back. You know that she's been with the library over 50 years?
It's just astounding. I mean, and the research, you can work for anybody that long.
Right. And the research she's done and interesting in a lot of things, the genealogy. But she knows her politics. And I just wanted to get a perspective from her. And why, kind of what she thinks, because I think, you know, as you know, you got to know your history before you go forward.
Oh, and I'm sure she had no hesitation to tell you what she thought.
She's great, but we're going to have her back. Yeah. But you're a younger guy on the city council, 6 years. I want to get your perspective on why you ran and what you hope to accomplish.
Well, look, I think my motivation for running really dates back to a project you started, which was the Green Bay Bullfrogs baseball stadium. And I think I grew frustrated by council's lack of action on that development. And that's what inspired me to run. And of course, now we have the shipyard under construction, which was really the foundation that you had laid with Dr. Vonk when he was still here. And of course, it's taken some time to really get that in the ground and moving. We needed some additional federal funding, but that was my inspiration. And then you get into the job and you realize the job is not anything what you thought it was going to be. And of course, it's a lot of satisfaction to be able to help residents every day with some of the challenges that they're facing in terms of working with their government. So you learn a lot.
You do. And you've got, as an alderman in your district, it's quite a mix. I mean, you've got the commercial and the residential. And even though commercial doesn't technically vote, a successful commercial helps the residents because it can, you know, keep the community safer. It can keep the taxes where they should be or so.
Yeah. The commercial is what stabilizes your tax base for the entire community.
Right.
And so if you don't have a good commercial core, your residential taxpayers will pay a lot more. But I've always said I probably have one of the most eclectic districts, everything from parts of the Astor neighborhood to obviously our lowest income census tract here in the near west side, most of downtown, all the way out to the stadium area. So the Legends District, there's a lot going on in there with different needs, but I'm up for the challenge. I enjoy it.
And I think what I liked about working with you is, I mean, you're elected by your district and you serve your district, but you're in it for more than that. You know, I really think you see the whole field. And I had someone on here that really wasn't too concerned about anything outside their district. And I just think, you know, I get that, right? That's who elected you, mm-hmm. but when you get to be at the council and making decisions, you've got to learn and it's hard just to take care of your district, right? and then ask you to look at another 11 districts and look at this and this road and that. But I mean, to be a really, really statesman alderman, which you are, you understand what's going on pretty much throughout the community, don't you?
Well, you have to be tactical and strategic, right? And on the tactical level, you're working with your constituents, whether they're businesses or residential property owners. And so you have to deal with that day-to-day need. To be strategic, you have to be thinking about the entire city, the entire community, and decisions you make in each of these respective districts can have a residual impact throughout the whole community.
Right. I talked to Mary Jane. I just wanted to bring this question to you. 6 years isn't a long time. I was in there 20. But do you see the city becoming more partisan, or do you think we're just that was just a bubble? Or give me your perspective, because you're a pretty nonpartisan guy. I don't know.
Yeah, look, I've joked. I've had Republicans and Democrats upset at me in the same day. So I think I'm doing something right if that's the case, because I vote my conscience and I independently look at issues. And I think I have been regarded as one of the most independent voices on council. I do think it has become more partisan. I'd like to hope it's a bubble. But I think both parties are really getting active in local politics. They're seeing that as sort of the feeder, right, for higher offices, whether it's state or federal office, and they're supporting candidates as a part of it. The problem is at the local level, we don't get into those partisan issues. And you know, there's no Democratic or Republican way to fix a pothole, right? We're dealing with some of the most basic services, the things that impact people's daily lives. And we have to be able to strip ourselves of that partisanship to really get things done.
Yeah. But I don't want to go back to the mayoral election, but that was partisan.
Yeah, you've seen it the last couple of election cycles. You've seen it at the local level. And even to a certain extent, even the school board is starting to see the impact of that from outside money coming in and supporting certain candidates.
Yeah. We got to get back to the issues. Like you said, you know, and there's, you know, we always say there's no Democratic Republican way to pick up garbage either. I mean, there's just stuff that has to be done on the local level. And look, I understand why. I don't agree, but I understand why it's partisan when you get higher and you have to declare a party, and that's where a lot of your funding comes from. And that's kind of why they declare a party. But here locally, it's sticking to the issues. What the city, how do you think the city's doing? And I don't really share some anecdotal stuff, but we've gone through a tough time, right? COVID.
COVID was hard.
BLM a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some issues that, I mean, through no fault of anyone's. And are we past that, or did that slow things down? Tell me how you feel going into a new era and coming through 6 years.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest impact with COVID, obviously there were the health related issues with that, but it's economics as well. And we saw a lot of investment get put on pause, and we're starting to see some of that come back to the table. Of course, we've got to see economic conditions stabilize a little bit more, and that'll be controlled more at the federal level. But rising interest rates have a cooling effect. That's the intent, and it's worked. And we need to be more creative at the local level with how we overcome some of those obstacles to move things forward. You know, we have in our community, we do have a lot of social issues that we need to address. There's a lot of challenges and unrest and folks that perhaps haven't been as represented as well by their local government. And I think there's an opportunity for us to do better in that area. And I think you're seeing some really great strides there. But at the end of the day, to me, city has a couple of core services, right? You have your parks, police, fire, the streets or public
DPW,
works.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And to me, one of the most important ones is economic development. If you don't have economic development, you don't have the tax base to pay for any of those things. So if we're focused on those core areas as a city, you know, I think we're fine. I think sometimes we get off the rails a little bit on some of the social issues that aren't as relevant to local politics. But, you know, I hope this new council, we have four new individuals.
Well,
you know, I hope we can really stay focused on our core issues.
And that's so important. And that economic development and even if you get the best, it still takes time.
It does.
And I don't think people understand how competitive economic development is. I mean, you go to Ohio, I mean, they're looking at some things, but even regionally, just right here in Green Bay, just to get people interested in our community. I mean, the Packers are great, but you can come to a game, but to invest, you know, $20-30 million in the community, that takes more than a good football team.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen some large scale development. You think of the Fort at the Rail Yard, and of course we have a new proposal downtown here in the Adams Street lot. I mean, these are things that took years, right, even just to go public.
Right.
And then, of course, it'll take another couple of years to vet out and then get a shovel in the ground. So large-scale development is a game of patience.
Yeah, and a lot of effort. A lot of it. It's
a ton of effort.
It's unbelievable how hard you got to work. And, you know, I think I've told you this before, but when we take the kids and we drive around and we go, wow, this is an awesome city, Dad. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
A good city just doesn't happen. It takes a great councils, great leadership, and a lot of private sector people to step up and do that. Hey, you'd mentioned, and I don't know where you were going with people who aren't represented, but I will tell you, I don't think we're doing enough for the homeless. Look, I work at a homeless shelter, right? You've been over there. You met with our residents, and they just love that, by the way. And these are people. They have every right to ask you questions about some fishing pier or what's going on at the rail yard. We still talk about that because we still meet, you know, every Monday. It's called community conversations. But, the article in the paper, it's doubled.
Right. We have to humanize the issue, right? These aren't faceless people. They're real people, right, like you said. And they have feelings and emotions and
dreams, hopes,
absolutely. And they're contributors to our community. And they're some of them are obviously caught in a tough spot for different circumstances. A lot of it is mental health. Some of it is addiction. But we can't ignore the problem and hope that it'll go away. And I think it's partly a city solution. It's partly a county solution. And then it's partly a community solution. And we need our service partners who are doing amazing work. They've stepped up in a lot of meaningful ways. But there are definitely gaps in the system that need to be addressed.
I think we have to, and you're the alderman, and I think you're one of the stronger leaders on the council, but not saying you got to get mad about it, but I think it's got to get elevated. I do. Mm-hmm. I do. And I didn't have the most patience in the world, but sometimes to get stuff done, you got to kick a little ass, you know, and I just don't see that happening with homeless or with fentanyl, quite honestly, alderman.
Yeah, fentanyl's one of the things that's contributing, obviously, to the homeless population. Not the only thing, but it's a rising concern and issue. On the homeless side, the city's done a couple of things. We used ARPA dollars to fund the Blueprint program to help us better understand the scope of the problem. We hired two social workers, which is highly unheard of for a city that doesn't have a human services department. So we're trying to address it. Obviously, housing continues. If you don't have housing and a place for these folks to go, we have to continue to push and address that. So there's more we need to do, no question.
And do we have a good strategic alliance with the county? Because the county exists for, you know, they're an extension of the state for health and human services. They have more money in the health and human services than we do in the whole city budget. Do we have a good relationship? Are they at the city council? Are they calling you guys saying, look, what can we do?
We've got the Brown County task force, you know, that brings all of our service providers together. And of course, the county does have a seat at that table. They need to be a part of the solution and a big part of it.
I think we're going to talk a little bit more. We'll talk during the break because I want to be nice. But I also want this addressed. And I think I think the community does, too. So, all right, we're going to be right back with Alderman Brian Johnson and Lean Local. Talk a few more issues, a little bit more about development. Stick around. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
In your eyes, I get lost, I get washed away. Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place. You're simply
Lean Local, I like that music. I picked it out for you because the city was awarded the best place to live in the United States. That's amazing because I've been to every state and many, many cities, and I think we're deserving. But that is, and that's U.S. News and World Report. That's not, some online survey. Well, you must feel great about that.
You're
a big part of that.
And it's based on data, right? You're trying to create a good quality of life here in our community. And they're looking at things like cost of living and crime rates. And, what I've always said, people are looking at the outside in and saying something is special in Green Bay. We've made a lot of lists over the last, however many years. We have something good here, and we can celebrate that success while still recognizing there's work to do.
Right. Right. And I think that's important. I think it's really important to celebrate success. And even though it might be, it's not a big of a deal, success breeds success. It just does. It does at home. It does in business. It does, in municipal work as well. As I said when I introduced you, we're with Brian Johnson, who is an alderman for the city of Green Bay, one of 12. He's in his six years.
Been 6 years.
Now. Okay. Yeah. And just recently was elected. You're an interesting person. I want to get you on here because you wear two hats, right? I mean, you are an alderman and represent a district, District 9. And then you also, another job you have is the director of On Broadway. Tell us about the focus, how that's going, what's going on Broadway. You're getting a lot of ink on it, and I want to talk about it here.
Yeah, it's an incredible organization. It's been around for close to 30 years now. And we really enjoy the work that we do. It's when I first started, it was Strugglesville a little bit. There were some things that we had to rectify and really get a good, strong, foundational bedrock in place for us to do bigger things. And we started to really conquer the everyday tasks you expect to see out of a business improvement district, basic maintenance needs, putting on events and generating activity and really making a fun and vibrant district. And now we're getting to move into the economic development sphere a little bit. And that's what's really exciting for us.
And you announced, and obviously there's construction going on at the public market. Tell us how that fits your district, but more importantly, how that benefits the city.
Yeah, look, we had Old Fort Square, which we consider a blighted or underperforming property. It was full of commercial tenants, but for a property of that size and scope, mid-block and a very important block in our downtown, we knew that it could be more. And so we observed public markets that are successful all across the country, and many of them in communities smaller than ours. And so we knew we could make this succeed in Green Bay. And so we've got, it's 45,000 square feet. So it's about the same size as the Milwaukee public market.
Which is a great.
Yeah, people are shocked by that. And this will be home to 20 tenants, but more importantly, it's the regular programming that goes on and attracts the visitors to our core.
And how is that going? I mean, you made an announcement. You had a pretty nice lead gift.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, anytime you do fundraising in a big project like this, if you don't have that lead gift, you can't make up for it with smaller gifts.
No, and God bless the people who give the smaller gifts. But I mean, really, you need that lead gift, that 30%, 40%. 50%, and then you can go public with
it. Right, yeah. Right. And so it was the Resch Foundation that stepped up with that. and made a $3 million gift for us to be able to do this project. But I really do appreciate them. One, they've been incredibly generous to our community.
Oh, yeah.
But secondly, they didn't want this to be known as the Rush Public Market. They wanted it to be the Green Bay Public Market. And so what we did is we created an alternative, the Rush Public Market Square, that will brand that block, but still allow us to have that regional identity, that regional brand to promote the city of Green Bay.
So 12 districts, but you got to prioritize the major projects. And I would think from an outsider that that's one of them.
Well, for us, on Broadway, it certainly is, right? We've got.
My question is different than that.
Yeah.
50 square miles, you got to prioritize the city. You know,
right.
I mean, you can't do everything at once. There's just not that kind of money. And you can't have 8 capital campaigns going on at one time in the city.
Right.
You got to have 2 or 3. Do you feel that the city council, mayor, that people, that this is their priority too? It's obviously yours. I mean, you're right. The director, but is how's the consensus? Because I think that's really, really important. And we didn't always have that when I was mayor. You know, we had the Northland Hotel, 6 people wanted it, 6 people didn't. When Walmart, 6 people wanted it, 6 people didn't. Zip and Pippin, 6 people wanted it, 6 people didn't. And you know, that's hard. But, you know, I mean, if I can get 6 votes, I'll break the tie and we'll do it. But how is that being received by the council?
People are really coalescing around it.
Good.
It's, I mean, we haven't had many requests in front of council to date, but the ones that we have, you know, of course, I have to abstain on just because I have that conflict. But our alders have been incredibly supportive. The mayor's been supportive. Staff's been supportive. Everybody wants to see this done. They get that this is a game changer for Green Bay, if not the region. So if we don't build it right and have the right support, it's going to suffer.
And something you read about, and, you know, Kevin and I worked on it, but is lack of housing, and I'm talking apartments, condos, and you've got a lot going on in that district. The city does too, I want to say. I think the city's doing a better job. But what do you have going on over there? There's a lot of cranes in the air.
Yeah, look, we've got city did a housing study that called for 3,000 new units over the next 10 years just to keep pace. So that doesn't even account for, you know, any growth that you may have. And we have about 1,000 units in the Broadway district that are under some form of development. As you know, this comes in phases. You have stuff that you want under construction, stuff that's in pre-development, stuff that's in conceptual phase, and we have stuff at every level. So we're really excited about bringing residential density to downtown, which is, to me, been the missing leg that can really put our downtown over the edge.
And can it? Because they got money, they support the restaurants and the whole downtown, the environment. Really, 3,000 is what we need. Over 10 years. That's a lot. That's the size of some cities. I mean, you know, the villages, like communities.
Right.
That's what
I meant.
But, okay. Look, I think, tell me, you're a big issue. What else? What else do we need to do here? And quickly.
Well, look, we need more development, right? We need housing. We need to address our homeless situation, but we need to fix our roads. And we need to get more creative with how we address that because the current funding model doesn't allow it.
All right. Look. You got a lot of work to do, but you've done a lot of work too. You're very confident, and I think people like you. And
I think so too.
You get this, when 70% like you, it's great. Hey, look, thank you for being here. We're with Alderman Brian Johnson, also the director of On Broadway. We're fortunate to have him as an elected official here in Green Bay. We're going to have you back. Thanks for all you're doing.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be back next Sunday with 2 more great guests.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth.
We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.